This is Audible.
Audible Originals presents You Are the Guru, written and performed by me, Gabrielle Bernstein. I dedicate this Audible Original to you, my listener. May these messages bring you peace, serenity, and a sense of safety, no matter what. Introduction. Let's start with a question. Do you feel anxious or overwhelmed? I can only imagine the answer is yes, and we don't have to recount the hundreds of reasons why. When difficult things happen in the world, it's normal to feel powerless, afraid, uncertain, or even frozen. We've tried to find a sense of security in leaders, institutions, and systems outside ourselves, only to realize it doesn't exist. No wonder we feel anxious and overwhelmed. But deep within all of us lie spiritual solutions. That's why you're listening. Simply pressing play on this Audible original means you're listening to your inner guidance system. It's led you here for solutions beyond your logical mind. Simple, reliable, spiritual solutions that will free you from fear and inner turmoil. Whether you're having a moment of minor overwhelm or find yourself in a state of panic, you can turn to these spiritual solutions for support. In order to show up for life and its challenges, we must be able to regulate our nervous system, calm our mind, and trust our inner wisdom to give us clear direction. That's why I created this Audible original, to teach you the 6 messages you can use to guide yourself back to peace at any moment. Think messages with a capital M. These messages are simple philosophies that are easy to remember and apply. They also have great power, much like the sutras found in ancient traditions. Sutras are meant to be brief, easily memorized, and thought-provoking. They've been handed down from generation to generation as axioms to live by. When a person acknowledges a sutra by saying it out loud or repeating it in their mind, they can feel certain, secure, connected to truth, and oriented in the right direction. In our time of mass distraction and information overload, the concept of the sutra is still as important as it was in ancient times. With so many conflicting opinions and stories hitting us all the time, we can become overwhelmed and have no idea what to do. The simplicity of these messages cuts through all the noise and gives us the confidence, clarity, and support we need to take action. Keeping it simple helps us establish new, positive ways of thinking and living. The spiritual teachers Abraham Hicks say, a belief is just a thought we keep thinking. The thoughts we have on loop generate either positive or negative energy. As we repeat the thoughts, the energy gains momentum, and if it's negative, we can become overwhelmed with fear and uncertainty, and then we freeze. We become so horrified that we go into an immobilized state in which we don't trust our intuition and get stuck in addictive behaviors, worry, and fear. These messages will unlock you in an instant. When you follow these messages and choose to live by them, you will open up to your own spiritual connection, allowing your inner wisdom to come forward anytime you need it. Consider these 6 messages your modern-day sutras. You'll be able to memorize them fast and apply them in the moment. Anytime you feel stressed, uneasy, or unsure of what to do, you can repeat one of the messages and come back to a place of calm, ease, and certainty. They'll give you clear direction while strengthening your sense of purpose. Each message also offers practical and spiritual ways you can put them into action in your daily life. You'll no longer feel like you're the victim of the news stories, global events, or chaos. You'll learn how to navigate through fear with faith and ease. These 6 messages will be your lighthouse, guiding you safely home. I can say with conviction that these messages are necessary right now. As a motivational speaker and self-help author, I'm in a unique position because so many people vulnerably share their fears with me. My inbox is perpetually filling up with emails from readers and people in my community opening up about what worries them and holds them back. We're all looking for clear direction and a sense of peace in the midst of uncertainty. That's why I collected these 6 messages. They're my personal tools, the ones I turn to whenever I need to reconnect with my inner guidance system and realign with love. It's an honor to share them with you. And now I invite you to join me on a journey of learning these messages and applying them to your daily life. I'll share personal stories of how each one has touched me and changed me, and I'll teach you spiritual tools and practices for how you can live them every day. And I will encourage you to master each message and then share it with your friends, family, and community. The six messages are meant to be shared. As spiritual students, we're being called to rise up as teachers. The way we will heal the world is through our devotion to our spiritual practice and our commitment to bringing positive energy into the world. Each message builds upon the next, offering you a path toward inner peace and self-assurance. Let these messages soothe you, support you, and inspire you. Listen now as I say each message out loud to you and give you a sense of what you can expect. The first message, see through the lens of love. This message embodies the philosophy that what we see in others is a reflection of ourselves. Simply put, this message asks us to confront our ego and the ways in which we see through the lens of separation rather than love. When we take responsibility for our thoughts, projections, and experiences, we strengthen compassion, heal separation, and better understand others. Most importantly, we dissolve the boundaries of separation with the truth of love that dwells within each of us. The second message, surrender to creative solutions. This message reminds us that while we experience challenges in life, we always have a choice. We can suffer through them or we can learn through them. When we live by the second message, we can perceive obstacles and difficulties as opportunities for spiritual growth and inner healing. By tapping into our creative capacity to see our life through a spiritual lens, we feel empowered and attract solutions. Instead of trying to ignore or avoid challenges, we can surrender them and open up to creative solutions and endless support. The third message, inspired action clears the path. It's easy to feel overwhelmed in this era of rapid technological changes. The world moves faster than ever before. We're constantly bombarded with unsettling news from across the globe. Instead of letting the energy of the times overload us, our work is to release that pressure with small right actions. We are being called to consciously grow, and in order to grow, we must embrace change. We cannot stay stagnant, stuck in the past and scared of the future. We must make movement in the present with our inspired action. The fourth message, in stillness we receive. In order to navigate an uncertain and ever-changing world, we must have a spiritual practice. When we tune into our intuitive mind through prayer and meditation, we establish an inner life that guides us in the outside world. A rich inner life gives us clear direction, a sense of certainty, and faith. We can find solutions to our problems and live with more ease. When we make our inner life a priority through our meditative practices, we can feel a sense of peace we've never known before. The fifth message, compassion creates connection. We cannot live in the mindset of, what's in it for me? In order to help humanity and the planet move forward, we must ask ourselves, how can my actions benefit the whole? This is the time to focus on the collective consciousness and the whole, to challenge the ego's desire to see others as separate and join in the spiritual union of oneness. When we let go of our judgments and see through the lens of compassion, we will thrive. The sixth message, you are the guru. The final message inspires you to learn to rely on your own inner wisdom and strength. The greatest sense of certainty and inner peace doesn't come from wholly depending on other people's advice, opinions, and teachings. It comes from knowing that you are the guru. You have the answers within you. Your willingness to turn inward and tap into your own intuition is enough to give you the clear direction you long for. what it's like to live the messages. When you embody these six messages in your day-to-day life, your entire worldview changes. You begin living with a positive perception of everyone and everything, a perception that is required of us now. I'm finishing this Audible original in the midst of the COVID-19 chaos. The world is in crisis and everyone is terrified. I'm spending hours each day responding to fearful posts and comments on my social feed. Amid all the fear around public health, racial injustice, and the economy, I have maintained a steady sense of peace by living these messages. Each day I practice the messages and feel a sense of oneness, optimism, and faith in spiritual solutions. Practicing the messages builds up positive momentum in my thoughts and energy, thereby guiding me to more signs from the universe that all is well. Synchronistic support floods into my consciousness daily. For example, this morning I woke up to an email that gave me the exact message I needed to hear. The email was from my designer, and it included a sample piece of art with an affirmation for my upcoming card deck. As I reviewed the art, my own words were presented back to me as a reminder of the truth I've grown to rely on. The affirmation said, "I can't control the world, but I can control how I choose to perceive it." It was delivered to my inbox the exact moment that I needed it, a direct reflection of the messages at work. My commitment to the messages has opened up my energy field to receive constant reminders that I am supported, guided, and loved. You too can experience the world differently when you live the messages. In any moment, you can return to the messages and be realigned with love, faith, and unshakable peace. Living these six messages is the best way to feel safe in uncertain times. When I live by the messages, my life flows. The simplicity of the ideas and practices keeps me aligned with my spiritual connection. I can hear the voice of my inner guidance system. I can find solutions beyond my logical mind. I feel connected to all humans, and I easily release resentment and judgment. Most importantly, I feel safe. I feel safe in the certainty of my spiritual connection. When things seem to be falling apart around us, there is only one place to turn: inward. Here's what you can expect when you live by the messages. When you feel overwhelmed, you'll have a quick and simple way to return to peace. You'll accept the power of your thoughts and energy. You'll feel a strong connection to others. Whenever you feel lost, you'll know exactly how to access clear direction from within. You'll embody an energy of safety, serenity, and calm, no matter what is going on around you. The biggest promise of all is that you'll feel a deep connection to your purpose. You'll have a greater understanding of the collective consciousness and how we all affect one another with our thoughts, energy, and actions. With this new level of awareness, you'll feel inspired to make a difference with the energy and thoughts you put out. You'll take your actions more seriously, and you'll understand on a gut level how important you are to the whole of humanity. You'll embrace your true purpose, which is to have a positive impact on the world. By teaching the messages, I'm responding to an inner call. I'm committed to carrying the messages far and wide at a time when we need them most. I know we all long for a roadmap to navigate life, and each of these six messages offers a simple path to find peace and solutions amid the turmoil. I have lived the messages for years, and now I'll teach you to live them too. It's time for us to wake up, rise up, and speak up. We must learn to let spirit move through us. We must release to a spiritual presence within our need to control and surrender. We must recognize our interconnectedness. There is a gentler, softer way to live, a way of taking fearless action with peace and grace. The six messages show us the way. In this Audible original, you'll learn to awaken the teacher within and become your own guru. The first message: see through the lens of love. As I begin writing this book, I'm 6 weeks into my maternity leave. I'm sitting on my living room sofa, gazing at my precious son, Oliver, in awe of the spiritual lessons that are unfolding. I see his little body and witness his innocence. He has no self-perception, no obsession with possessions, and no ego belief that he is separate from other people. In this period, sometimes known as the fourth trimester, he lives in a happy bubble, free from the fear-based stories of the world. As I look at this innocent being, I realize I have a sacred opportunity to let my child be a reminder of the time when I lived with that same innocence, when I didn't live in a world of separation, when we saw the world through the lens of love. I've been spending my days sitting on my sofa and drinking mother's milk tea as I field emails and texts from friends asking for baby photos. One message is from my friend Dr. Shefali Sabari, the author of Conscious Parenting. In her message, Shefali says to me, "He is your teacher." I smile as I embrace little Ollie, knowing he will be my greatest teacher. His energy brings me back into a state of presence, peace, and most importantly, oneness. He is a direct reminder of our interconnectedness. He isn't my child or my creation. He isn't baby Oliver born to Gabby and Zach. He is a spirit having a human experience just like everyone else. He's a part of a stream of love that makes us who we are. We all embody the same love, the same light, the same truth. When we slow down and become present through meditation and prayer, we can remember this truth. When we are present, we relieve ourselves of our stories. We dwell in the energy of love and spirit, and we're free from fear, attack, and separation. We feel connected to a greater whole. You may have experienced the sense of oneness and connection before. For instance, after running or dancing, while holding a newborn child, or when sitting in deep meditative stillness. The relief from our ego-based stories may be fleeting, but just knowing that feeling of connection is available to us is enough. It's enough because it gives us an inner certainty that no matter how far we detour into fear, there is always a spiritual solution that can bring us back to peace. We come into the world without any pretense about ourselves, our culture, our religious beliefs, or our socioeconomic status. A very young child knows only oneness and love. They are unaware of the separateness of the world. But with each day of life, they start to form a unique worldview based on their upbringing and experiences. They're taught to believe they aren't as good as some people and that they're better than others. They pick up on the beliefs of their parents, friends, teachers, and society. They begin to see a world of separateness rather than a worldview based on love they were born with. Ollie reminds me of this love as I look into his eyes on my living room couch. In that experience, I feel suspended in time. I'm a spirit among spirits, one with everything around me. Then my phone dings with a reminder of a work call. The moment is interrupted. I'm no longer one with my child. I'm now a business owner. Minutes later, I get a text from my husband to coordinate dinner, and now I'm a wife. Ollie notices I'm distracted and starts to cry. Now I'm a mother. A news alert chimes on my iPad, reminding me of the turmoil in my country, and now I'm a worried citizen. While there's still a strong part of me that knows I'm a spirit connected to all spirits, in my day-to-day life, I'm constantly being pulled back into my self-perception. This self-perception is what many spiritual teachers call the ego. I've built up a powerful ego-based story of who I think I am and how the world perceives me. A mother, a wife, an author, an entrepreneur. While this self-perception fills my ego with a sense of accomplishment, it comes with a great deal of suffering. I suffer from the belief that I am separate from others, separate and therefore alone. Separate is disconnected from spirit. Separate creates distance, tension, and fear. Separate blocks me from feeling a true connection to others and to our source. I am separated from love. All separate thoughts come from the ego. It offers up a false belief system based on the premise that we are separate and alone, and it keeps us stuck in the illusion of fear, judgment, and littleness. The ego represents any thought that is not love. It's never content in the present. It's fixated on the future at the same time as it's digging up the past. The ego's worldview is one of fear. Over time, it becomes the primary inner voice we hear. Its relentlessness silences the inner voice of love, which becomes a distant afterthought. Each ego thought multiplies as the world presents us with more things to fear and more reasons to believe in our separateness. Our belief in separateness is one of the main reasons we feel alone and unsafe. We're jealous, fearful, oppressed, and unwilling to trust others. Our perception of separateness makes us angry when we see people doing things differently from how we do them. Instead of accepting other people, we let our differences cause tension and disconnect. For instance, we're often judgmental about other people's political views, parenting styles, and what they choose to eat or not eat. We can become very preoccupied, even to the point of obsession. At its core, this behavior is the ego judging others so we don't have to face our own self-judgment and feelings of unworthiness. This topic will be addressed more in the fifth message. The ego separation and judgment are rooted in our own feelings of being inadequate and unlovable. If we were brought up to believe that all people were extensions of unconditional love, then why would we have any reason to see ourselves as separate from others? Our programming from childhood onward has created a worldview based on fear. The fear becomes the driving force behind how we relate to the world and others. This idea is deeply reinforced by society, with people made to feel they're different and less than because of the color of their skin, their socioeconomic status, their sexual orientation, their looks, their physical abilities, and so on. When we live in fear, we have to see ourselves as separate in order to feel safe. But this is just a false sense of safety. In the midst of judgment and separation, we are alone. Let me pause here because you may be thinking, wait, I'm not living in fear all the time. Fear can show up in many forms, and you may not even recognize them as such. Maybe you have low-level anxiety, or you're overly defensive or controlling. Whether you realize it or not, these behaviors are all manifestations of fear. The first message challenges us to undo the fear of the ego. It asks us to confront our ego and all the ways we see through the lens of separation, judgment, and attack. It calls upon us to unlearn our fears and remember love. The fear-based belief in separation is the cause of tragedies and crisis throughout the world. For centuries, this widespread belief that we're separate has caused immeasurable suffering and harm. That harm begins in our minds. Therefore, we must take responsibility for our thoughts, projections, and experiences. The first way we can do this is to look closely at our own ego's belief in separateness. When we confront this ego belief, we open up to true healing. Confronting the ego is the big work that's required to truly see through the lens of love. When we become brave enough to confront our ego, we can often be met with feelings of shame. For instance, as I write this book, we're living through a pandemic that has triggered all our deep-rooted fears. The fear of the pandemic has been compounded by the senseless murders of so many Black men and women. This cultural moment challenged me to take a closer look at how unconscious I was of my ego's perceptions. I looked closely at the ways I'd taken my privilege for granted. I tried to put myself in the shoes of those mothers. As a mother of a white child, I have no fear of my son's future, his ability to walk around freely, to drive a car, be safe in his house, and all the other ways white people are given the benefit of the doubt by the police, the criminal justice system, and so many other institutions in America. We all deserve that reality, but it's not true, and never has been, for millions of people in this country. We have to become brave enough to face the shameful truth that we've lived in a world based on separation. The ego wants to defend against that shame by projecting onto others all the feelings we're afraid to face. But when we honestly look at the ways our ego has made us separate, we begin the process of undoing the thoughts of separation and restoring our mind back to love. See through the lens of love. Practice the message now. Put yourself in someone else's shoes. In order to truly open up to the presence of love, we must start with our heart rather than our head. A deep inner feeling of love is not something we can force, but it's something we can practice. Start now. Put yourself in someone else's shoes. While it's painful to consider the ways separation has affected so many innocent people, it's important to put yourself in someone else's shoes. Maybe if you're a white person, consider what it's like to be in the body of a person with darker skin. Or maybe if you're a man, you consider what it's like to be a woman in the workplace. Give yourself time to reflect on what you would do if you were in their shoes and faced prejudice, homophobia, ageism, or sexism. This exercise is confronting and scary, and that's a good thing. We have to confront the negativity that separation creates in order to ultimately see through the lens of love. We have to confront the ways in which we've avoided those feelings and hidden from the truth. See through the lens of love. Say this message aloud. Feel the words. Experience its truth. After applying the first practice, you may notice that this message touches you on a deeper level. For me, it no longer feels like words I think. Instead, it's a belief I know. It feels so good to proactively see through the lens of love, because love is my truth. I have experienced separation in minor ways that still greatly affected me. For instance, I grew up in a very wealthy town, but my family always struggled financially. I saw the rich kids as better than me, and I always felt as though my family and I were inadequate. Compounding the sense of inadequacy was the fact that I didn't think I was smart. I had learning challenges as a kid, and as a result, I always fell behind in school. One day in sixth grade, the boy I had a crush on called me stupid. That single comment has lingered throughout my life. Well into adulthood, I suffered from feeling stupid when I was around highly educated people. All I could see was my separateness, my inadequacy. Every time I bought into the ego's perception of fear, I suffered. But in the midst of my suffering, I had a choice. I could let the thoughts of separateness multiply, or I could return to this message and see through the lens of love. As I strengthened my faith in love, this old story I'd been telling myself for so long began to change. If I found myself in a situation where I started thinking I was stupid and less than, I returned to this message and reminded myself of the truth of who I am. I let the power of my faith in love dissolve the fear-based stories that held me back. Perceiving my past through the lens of love allowed me to release the projections that had been placed upon me and change the course of my life. Had I not dissolved those perceptions with love, I wouldn't have been able to write 8 books, show up as a teacher, and trust my voice. If you feel very caught up in the beliefs of separation right now, then this may seem hard. You may be thinking, how could I possibly see love in that politician I hate? Or, how can I see love for my ex-husband who was unfaithful? Or, how could I see myself as love when the world has projected so much separation onto me? When we feel harmed by another person, it's terribly difficult to see through the lens of love. The ego wants to project more fear onto the other in efforts to avoid the deep-rooted feelings that we're unlovable. But I'll tell you what's even worse. When we hold a grievance towards someone, we relive the pain over and over and over again, reinforcing this false belief. The grievance hurts you because it reinforces your feelings of separation and rage, as well as your unwillingness to forgive. But forgiveness is the pathway back to love. When we are unwilling to forgive, we live in rage, fear, and a perpetual sense of being separate. I know forgiveness can feel impossible when it comes to someone who has harmed you. But here's the thing about forgiveness. You don't have to figure out how you'll forgive. All you have to do is become willing to let forgiveness be shown to you. In order to truly know the feeling of love, we must become willing to let forgiveness in. All you have to do is live with the intention of forgiveness. Here's an example from my own life. As a person in the public eye, I've experienced instances of people attacking me or judging me online. My initial reaction to their attack is often to defend myself and judge them back, in my mind, not in the comments, thereby perpetuating the belief in separation. In these moments of attack, love is far from reach. So I don't force myself into forgiveness right away because I want to let myself fully experience the feelings. And while I may spend a day or even a week judging the other person for their attack, I continue to say this prayer. I am willing to forgive. Just saying that prayer is enough. Recently, I was attacked online by one of my former students. I couldn't understand why he would go after me publicly. I was hurt and angry, and my ego wanted to make him feel bad for the way he treated me. I allowed myself to feel those feelings, but stayed willing to see through the lens of love and forgive. After several days of avoiding his messages and ignoring his comments, a radical moment of forgiveness occurred. While reading another one of his nasty comments, I heard my inner voice say, "Forgive him. He's merely projecting his shame onto you." In that moment, I saw him through the lens of love. I felt ashamed for what he was calling me out for, and I knew in an instant that he shared that shame. I could see clearly how it was much easier for him to project his shame onto me than face it within himself. In that instant, I could see him through the lens of love and forgive him. Practice the message now. Become willing to forgive. Forgiveness is the pathway to see through the lens of love. While forgiveness may seem like the hardest thing to do, it's actually the easiest practice of them all. Remember, you don't need to do anything other than become willing to forgive. Take any person in your life whom you've seen as separate, even if it's someone you don't know personally. Notice all the ways the separation makes you feel uncomfortable, angry, and out of alignment with love. Begin the practice of starting each day with this prayer: "I am willing to forgive." Then do nothing and let forgiveness show you what to do. That's it. It's that simple. Let this prayer replace your feelings of separation and allow the universal energy of love to take over. Practicing forgiveness is about turning over your ego stories to a power greater than yourself and allowing spirit to heal your mind. When you stop trying to forgive and just stay willing, spirit can step in. Say your prayer daily and pay attention to the moment when forgiveness sets in. Forgiveness guides you to see through the lens of love. There are several practices I turn to regularly to strengthen my faith in love. I apply them with strangers, close friends, and even the people who challenge me most. In order to live this truth, I must practice it. I can't remember it only when I disconnect. I have to live it all the time. The more I practice seeing with love, the happier I feel, and so will you. The next practice is powerful and can be applied to someone who hasn't hurt you deeply. You might want to start applying them to a coworker who gets under your skin or a relative whose political opinions clash with yours. If you try to apply this message to a very challenging relationship right off the bat, your ego will defend against the illusion of separateness. You'll identify with the ego's need to protect yourself from getting hurt again or its need to be right. But if you start practicing this message with someone who's pretty neutral to you, you can experience the benefits without major ego resistance. Once you've mastered the practices of this message, then you can apply them to more challenging people. Practice the message now. Bless others with love. Wherever you are today, glance at another person and silently say, "I see you through the lens of love." This can be someone close to you, someone you know very casually, or a complete stranger. You can look at a neighbor on the street, a friend at work, your own child. At least once today, look at someone and silently repeat, "I see you through the lens of love." When you look another person in the eyes and genuinely turn to this mantra, you'll feel a shift. As you practice the affirmation, consciously notice how it feels to affirm this truth. Feel the feelings that come up, notice any resistance, and honor your emotional response. While your inner being knows the truth of your interconnectedness, your ego has long resisted it. If this practice challenges you, don't ignore your resistance. Honor it. Trust that it's guiding you to look closely at the ways you've seen yourself as separate from others. Your resistance shows you what you need to heal. We've grown to rely on separation as our worldview. We believe wholeheartedly in our differences, but it's time to heal them now. Looking into the eyes of another human being and affirming your interconnectedness is a radical act of love. Your affirmation is a prayer, and your gaze is a gesture that connects you. The other person will feel your connection whether they consciously realize it or not, and your affirmation of love will have a ripple effect. The other person will feel elevated in your presence. They'll carry this loving feeling into the rest of their day and share it with other people they meet. Don't underestimate the power of your thoughts and intentions. This quiet act of love will make a major impact on the world around you. While it's possible this practice will be a challenge at first, you might have the opposite experience. You might find you have no resistance and that it makes you feel great from the start. You may notice a sense of connection and a rush of love move through you. Whenever I apply it in my own life, I feel an energy of peace pass over me. It feels good to know that I am silently blessing another person and honoring them through my gaze. Affirming love reminds me of my truth and clears away any ego separateness. I find that when I live this practice, my day goes more smoothly, my energy flows freely, and I move through life with an overall feeling of grace. Let these good feelings come over you by gazing into the eyes of another person and affirming your love. Live this practice daily to allow that feeling of unity and connectedness move through you. When we acknowledge our love, we realign with our true nature. Notice how you shift and change with each new opportunity to look into someone's eyes and silently say, "I see you through the lens of love." Another way the ego reinforces the illusion of fear and separateness is by feeling jealous or comparing ourselves to someone else. Jealousy represents the undeveloped parts of ourselves that we wish to fulfill. You may believe that jealousy is a natural feeling, but from a spiritual perspective, there's nothing natural about it. Jealousy is an ego-contrived belief in separation and a sense of being less than others or lacking in some way. Though it's important to call out that when you're in a state of deprivation, wanting something that will alleviate your pain is not unnatural. In truth, the people who trigger your jealousy don't have what you want. Instead, they resemble who you are. They are the clearest reflection of the greatness within you, a greatness you're denying. You may be thinking, if someone has what I want, how is that a reflection of me? When you witness an underdeveloped part of yourself in someone else, you can see it with lack or you can see it with love. When you choose to see it with love, you accept that what you're jealous of is merely a reminder of who you're prepared to be. For instance, I once gave a talk to an audience of salespeople. One woman raised her hand and complained that she didn't feel good enough because she kept comparing her sales ranking to her peers. She felt so paralyzed by her jealousy that she continued to stay stuck in the same position, unable to move up in her career. I explained to her that the real reason she felt envious was that her colleagues were reflecting back to her who she truly was. Their success was available to her too. Freedom comes when you see someone else's success as a reflection of who you really are, instead of a reflection of what you lack. A shift in perception can change your experience of jealousy forever. Practice the message now. Let your envy show you your greatness. When you notice that you're envious or comparing, take a moment to remind yourself of the truth of this message. Say to yourself, "What I see in this person is a reflection of my greatness." The next step is to thank the person for being a reflection of who you truly are. Say a silent prayer. "Thank you for reminding me of my greatness. Thank you for inspiring me to step into my truth. Thank you for reflecting back to me the greatness of who I truly am. I accept this greatness now." See through the lens of love. Other people are always reflecting back ways that we can deepen our understanding of love. When you fearlessly witness what other people trigger in you, you give yourself a divine opportunity to look in the mirror and focus on what you may need to heal, develop, or nurture. There are no chance encounters. Each person who ignites a deep emotion in you, whether good or bad, is your teacher. They've been placed in your life to heal you and help you grow. We attract people into our lives who will mirror back to us exactly what we need to heal. There are many examples of this. One is the codependent who attracts the alcoholic. These two archetypes are the perfect match for one another. The codependent seeks to feel complete and safe in their ability to serve and fix others. And the alcoholic offers them the daily opportunities to act out this desire, even at their own expense. The alcoholic attracts a codependent partner because they seek someone who will enable their addictive patterns. While these two people seem to suffer from very different forms of addiction, they're actually the perfect mirrors for one another. Each person represents the other's deep-rooted pain and suffering. They're both attempting to find completion in the other person in an effort to form a bond or find a sense of security. But the true miracle is the opportunity they provide each other to heal. When people form a partnership out of fear, lack, or a need to feel whole, they will suffer. If these two people were to choose to live the message and see through the lens of love, they could see how their partner triggered all their greatest challenges and fears. They could see their suffering as the same as their partner's suffering, and they could see how their partner perfectly reflects what they need to heal. Healing is available to all dysfunctional relationships when seen through the lens of love. When people decide they're done with being stuck in their patterns and blaming others for their discomfort, they become willing to look in the universal mirror and see the ways love has been missing. This is true for all types of relationships, not just romantic ones. For example, my friend Eliza has suffered for years by overly caring for people who incessantly take from her. Every time I talk to her, she has a story about how someone took advantage of her generosity and never gave her anything in return. She eventually got so fed up that she told me she didn't know what to do. So I helped her see her part in the relationships, how her pattern of overgiving has been the perfect match for the takers she attracts. I explained that these people are her teachers. They continuously show up in her life to mirror back to her exactly what she needs to heal. They reflect her fear of not being good enough, her need to feel loved, and her core belief that she's inadequate in some way. I explain that they'll continue showing up until she chooses to see them as a reflection of herself. Her true healing lies in her ability to recognize the other person as her teacher, her reflection, and her guide back to love. Once she accepts the other person as a reflection of what she needs to heal, she can either look more closely at what's been revealed or she can avoid it. While looking at our core wounds can feel terrifying, it's actually far more difficult to avoid them because then we live at the mercy of our triggers. Eliza's story reminds us that we'll stay stuck in the same patterns until we allow other people to reflect back to us what we need to heal and take it seriously. Recognizing your connection with another person means you're willing to see your suffering as their suffering. You're willing to see that what they trigger in you is helping you discover hidden shame, sadness, and core emotional wounds. You're willing to see them as a teacher rather than a perpetrator. This perceptual shift will begin a new journey of personal growth and spiritual development. You will no longer feel like the victim. Instead, you'll find great strength in knowing clearly what you need to heal. You can apply this message with all your relationships, from a dynamic with a coworker who irritates you to a very difficult relationship with a romantic partner. While the most challenging relationships offer you great guidance inwards so you can look more closely at your core wounds, I want to acknowledge that they may not always be safe. In the case of an abusive relationship, it's important to remove yourself from harm and seek appropriate support and counseling. If you're in an abusive relationship, please know that there are great support resources that you can find at GabbyBernstein.com/messages. Safety must come first, and getting to a safe place is the first step. Once you feel you're in a healing environment, such as a support group or working with a therapist or counselor, then you can go deeper and explore the core wounds. Put your safety first, take your time, and don't rush this process. Practice the message now. Witness your emotional response. The next time you notice another person's words or actions trigger an emotional response in you, whether positive or negative, take a moment to recognize how it feels. As soon as possible, journal what comes up for you. You can even make a note in your iPhone. Take time to look closely at what emotions this person ignites within you. At the top of the page in your journal, write, "You are my reflection. What can I learn from you?" Then for the next few minutes, let your pen flow onto the page and free write about anything that comes up. Don't second guess or edit anything, just write. You may be surprised by what comes through. When you accept that you have a learning opportunity in front of you, your inner wisdom will come forward to show you what you need to learn. For example, I did this practice with a friend of mine who made me feel uncomfortable. I always felt like I needed to save her or make sure she was feeling good while ignoring my own needs altogether. So I brought this feeling to my journal for reflection. At the top of the page, I wrote, "You are my reflection. What can I learn from you?" Then I surrendered and let the words flow. I wasn't expecting what I wrote down. I wrote about how my friend was reflecting back my need to make others feel good above everything else. I recognized an unhealed part of me that wanted to please others. As I took time to reflect, I was also able to see how we both were just longing for love. She was my teacher, and that she helped me see that I'm not responsible for the happiness of others. I can be kind and generous without ignoring my own needs. Had I not let my inner wisdom come forward, I wouldn't have been able to begin healing the pattern. I'd have continued to suffer, and she would have too. Had I continued trying to fix everything for her, I wouldn't have been truly helping my friend. Instead, my practice helped me see that the feelings my friend triggered in me offered me great guidance to see through the lens of love. A week after practicing this message with the journaling exercise, I experienced a miracle. I met my friend for lunch, and the entire time I felt relaxed and at ease. I no longer felt the pressure to make things easier for her. I let her take care of herself, and I took care of myself. This was the most loving thing I could do. My pattern of people-pleasing hadn't completely disappeared, but I could see the pattern between the two of us. Becoming conscious of it allowed me to be the witness of my behavior in the moment and choose a new way of being. This experience was excellent practice for embracing new patterns. I was able to make a subtle yet radical shift because I allowed my discomfort in this relationship to mirror back to me what I needed to heal. Sometimes witnessing the lesson is enough to redirect towards love. Other people are our greatest learning devices. They give us the opportunity to look in the mirror and take an honest inventory of the ways we've separated from love. Other people help us see our destructive patterns. And with that newfound awareness, we can begin healing. The first step in healing any pattern or wound is to witness it. We can't heal what we aren't aware of or what we're unwilling to acknowledge. This journaling exercise gives us the chance to witness our feelings and bring them forward for healing. Instead of living trigger to trigger, we can let other people help us see our patterns, honor our feelings, and return to love. See through the lens of love. The first message may have activated a lot of feelings and uncomfortable emotions. That's a good thing. Let yourself be present with what's coming up and thank the universe for guiding you to what you need to heal. You may also be asking, if other people can trigger me, does that mean I can trigger them too? The answer is yes. Your confidence, success, or ability to speak up may ignite a deep emotion in someone, while at the same time, your insecurity, fear, neediness, or judgmental attitude may trigger people too. Don't underestimate the power of your energy, words, and actions. If people react to you in negative ways, take a moment to assess the ways in which you may be triggering. This isn't an opportunity to judge yourself or make yourself feel small. Instead, it's a chance to examine how your energy makes other people feel. You're not responsible for how people respond to you, but you are responsible for the energy you put out. As long as you put out loving and compassionate energy and remain open to hearing others express their feelings, even if it's uncomfortable, you can know that your side of the street is clean. When we witness someone standing in an energy of love, it can feel empowering, or it can ignite a lot of uncomfortable feelings. I experienced this firsthand when I shared a post on Instagram and received an alarming response. The post was an image of myself with the words, I am a shame shifter. In the post, I shared my experiences with addiction, trauma, anxiety, and depression. I was open about my struggles as well as my pride in my recovery. I welcome my audience to share their experiences in the comments so they too could begin the journey of shifting their shame. To my surprise, one woman posted a very judgmental comment. She said that she was triggered by the phrase shame shifter, accusing me of seeking attention and being desperate. I'm always the first to admit when I've said something inappropriate or not well thought out, but this wasn't the case here. I responded with love and commented, "I'm sorry you feel that way. I guarantee that this has nothing to do with desperation. My only intention is to help people feel free by openly sharing my shame so they can heal their own. Thank you for sharing your experience, but I feel very clear about this post and my intentions. I don't need attention. I just want to serve." Typically, I don't respond to negative comments, but for some reason, I felt called to express my truth. I stand strong in my commitment to help people never feel alone. Within seconds, she replied with a loving comment asking me to help her see what she needed to learn from her triggered reaction. I responded to say that when someone's words or actions activate us this way, it's because they're reflecting an unhealed part of ourselves. When someone else stands fearless in their own very difficult emotions, such as shame, it can be wildly triggering. It can make us want to shame them for their truth. This Instagram dialogue continued and dozens of people chimed in. Ultimately, it was an experience of true healing for the woman who commented. She said she had attacked from her own fear and shame. Once I felt the negativity in her comment chain lift, I ended by sharing, "Whenever you feel triggered, choose to see through the lens of love." Relationships of all kinds offer us the greatest opportunity for transformational growth. At first, it can feel debilitating to have our core wounds reflected back to us. But becoming conscious of our immediate reaction is enough to stop the pattern of blaming or shaming others. You can honor how their energy triggers your wounds while taking responsibility for your own feelings. Witnessing your reaction offers you a chance to look within and work on what's coming up for you. This is a brave practice that will change you forever. When you choose to see the other person through the lens of love, then you're no longer the victim. Releasing blame and shame will transform your relationships forever. Let's recap how to live this message. The first step to living this message is to put yourself in someone else's shoes. Second, become willing to forgive. Third, bless others with love. Fourth, let your envy reflect what you yourself want. And finally, witness your emotional response by free writing in your journal.